Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. One, it's the third Sunday of September, so we will be collecting up our basket offering after the regular offering. This month, it's going to the Youth Fund, and this fund helps us to go to confirmation camp. It helps us to go to the youth gathering. It allows for me to take our youth out for a meal or ice cream, to visit with them and spend time with them. We are getting ready to start up a youth group, and so it'll help us to do some fun activities. For example, in October, I want to get some pumpkins, and we'll carve pumpkins together. So this is the fund that enables all of that. Tomorrow night, just a reminder that Agape is being hosted at Libby Carrick's house. Come rain or shine, right, Libby? Rain or shine. Worship and music meets this Wednesday. Bible study is Thursday. And next Sunday, we are starting up confirmation again. And there'll be a youth meeting that evening where I need some feedback. How often do the youth want to meet? When would be a good time for that to happen? So if you have a youth in your family, please encourage them and their parents to come to that meeting. Let's see, we have a few birthdays this week, actually quite a few. Jonathan Hedrick, Chris Varner, Cara Feeney, Monica Parsons, Ann Blower, Dean Chapman, Connor Heeking, and Kelly Carrick. And then celebrating their anniversary are Keith and Lori Cecil, Scott and Holly Curry, Kyle and Megan Murphy, Rex and Tracy Everhart. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's peace, Let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Christ the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there's always more than enough. And through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation, and by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Cameron. How are you today? There's Kate. Good morning, Kate. How are you today? Are you good? Yeah? I'm going to scoot closer to you guys. Brantley, are you good over there? Okay. Well, I wanted to talk to you guys about something that we get to do. So sometimes we say we get to do something, and sometimes we say we have to do something. Do you know what the difference is? You do? Does it mean that if we have to do something, it sounds like something we don't really want to do, or something that we feel like is an obligation, that we don't really have a choice? But if we get to do something, that sounds a little more special, right? That we get to play with our toys, that we get to have ice cream for dessert. Well, sometimes when we talk about church, we say, I have to go to church. I have to go to church. But I think for us, we can say, I get to go to church. Because when we come to church, we get to see our whole church family who loves you and cares about you, and you bring them so much joy when they see you. And when we get to come to church, we get to sing songs and tell God thank you for all that God does for us. And we get to come to church so that we can go to children's church and hear some stories about Jesus. And we get to come to church so we can have communion, so that we can taste the bread and the juice and let God show us through the bread and the wine that God loves us, that we get to eat God's love in the bread and the wine and the juice. And so I just thought maybe we could rethink how we say that we come to church. Instead of saying, I have to go to church, we could say, I get to go to church. Does that sound good? Can you say, we get to go to church? We get to go to church, right? Well, will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Help us to remember that we get to go to church, that we get to praise you with songs, we get to eat the bread and the juice, and we get to see our church family. We love you, God. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning. Jane has children's church today, so you can go with Jane if you'd like.
The lesson for today is from Acts. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told them what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I thought we would originally finish our sermon series on Holy Communion today, but I'm going to call an audible. You all hung with me last Sunday as I tried to describe how when we do this in remembrance of Jesus, when we remember at the Lord's table, we aren't calling to mind what happened in the past. We are re-experiencing that past event in the present, as if we were the very ones at the table with Jesus 2,000 years ago. We explored how the concept that the saving power of a past event is brought into the present through reenactment. And as hard as it was for me to try and put that into words and describe it, I know it was just as hard for you all to listen to that and to try to begin to wrap your minds around it. So since you hung with me last Sunday, I'm going to call an audible. Next Sunday, we'll look back at all we've learned and explored in this sermon series. But for today, we're going to spend some time with the two Emmaus travelers when Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. So some of you have heard me say before that I wish we could sit for a couple of hours together and study this passage, because there's so much I would love to share about this story with you. We would walk through the passage verse by verse, and I would tell you about all the cool Greek words that the author of Luke uses and how they can help us understand more fully what's happening in this passage. I'd show you what a masterful storyteller Luke is by showing you how the choices of words and images in this passage connect to so many other words and images used elsewhere in Luke. I would show you the fascinating research that has led scholars to believe that the second traveler on the road to Emmaus was actually Cleopas's wife. And we talk about that phrase, the breaking of bread, and how it's also used in Acts 2, and how the author of Luke and Acts, which by the way is the same author, intended for these two stories to be connected. But as usual, there is just never enough time to share with you all the things that I want to. So for today, you'll have to just settle for a few minutes of a sermon. So these verses in Luke take us back to the afternoon of the resurrection. Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas are headed from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And we don't even have to listen that closely to hear the grief and the despair, the pain and the sadness in their words. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. They, like others, had put all their hope in Jesus. And although these two travelers aren't named elsewhere in the Gospels, they were clearly disciples of Jesus. They had followed him. They believed him to be the Messiah. And 3 days prior to this conversation, he was brutally beaten and put to death by the religious and political leaders of his day. So when they say, "We had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel," they are saying a lot more than just those words. Their hopes were shattered. They expected a different kind of Messiah and a different way for Jesus to be the Messiah. And their dreams were absolutely crushed when Jesus was killed. So on this particular afternoon, things were bleak and dark, and they must have felt so very hopeless. For the last 3 days, these two travelers, along with all the followers of Jesus, had been walking through the valley of the shadow of death, which can also be translated the darkest valley. And 3 days after walking through the darkest of valleys, Jesus came near. The text says that Jesus came near and he went with them, which is nothing new, by the way, because all throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus came near to people, and he continues to do it after his resurrection. Think about Psalm 23. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, you are with me." Jesus was with the Cleopases even when they didn't recognize it. I wonder how many times for us that Jesus has been with us and we just didn't recognize him. We all know a thing or two about walking through dark valleys. In fact, many in our congregation are walking through them right now. But the truth is that we are never, ever alone in those dark valleys. Even when we don't recognize him, Jesus still comes near, and he still goes with us. And so the travelers reach Emmaus, and they invite Jesus to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he did something that they had experienced him do who knows how many times. He took bread. He blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. And in that moment, their eyes were opened and they knew it was him. Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is so incredibly beautiful and deeply powerful. Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread, just like Jesus does for us every single time we come to his table. Although they aren't named in Acts 2, I think the Cleopases are among those who spent time in the temple, broke bread in their homes, and ate with glad and generous hearts. The memories of all the meals that they had shared with Jesus, but especially the one at their home in Emmaus, must have been so fresh and vivid in their hearts and their minds that they continued to break bread so that Jesus would be revealed to them over and over again in the breaking of bread. They wanted again to encounter Jesus, and so they broke bread because they knew that Jesus, the very presence of Christ, would be with them in their midst when they did. The Cleopases may have been the first people to encounter the risen Christ in the breaking of bread, but they weren't the last. Because still, every time that Jesus invites people to his table to receive his body and blood in the bread and wine, we still encounter the risen Christ. Because for us, the bread and the wine are not just bread and wine. They aren't symbols. In this meal, they become for us the presence of Christ. When you receive the bread and the wine, you are holding the presence of the risen Christ in your hands, just like Mary held the presence of Christ in her arms when he was a baby. And when you take the bread and the wine, which for us is the presence of the risen Christ, and you put it in your mouth and swallow it, you literally are getting to taste and see that the Lord is good. You get to take into your body the presence of Jesus. You get to take into your body the love of God, the forgiveness and grace and mercy that God so freely offers us. The presence of Jesus in the bread and wine, they don't just nourish us spiritually, but they nourish us physically as well. The table blessing that we say after communion every Sunday, it's not just words. They are promise. The promise that the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that you receive in the bread and wine truly strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. So just like Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas that resurrection night, and just like the followers of Jesus in Acts 2, we experience the risen Christ as he reveals himself to us in the breaking of bread. In this meal at our Lord's table, the risen Christ comes to us again and again and again. And then he goes with us as we are sent out these doors, as we are strengthened and nourished to be his body in the world. Sisters and brothers, accept Jesus' invitation every time he invites you to this meal. Because not only is there more than enough room for all at this table, Jesus wants to feed you with his very presence so that you can be the bread of life for the world. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen. Thank you.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. We pray for the church throughout the world, from us into communities of forgiveness and grace. Help us to notice where you are calling us into new relationships, and give us courage to embrace the uncomfortable and unfamiliar. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the earth and all its inhabitants. Protect lands at risk of wildfire and heal dying forests. Where fire brings destruction, raise up new growth. Guide us in tending fragile and complex ecosystems. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for those who govern nations, tribes, and cities. Open them to the cries of the people in need. Direct them in shaping policies that prioritize the health and well-being of all who struggle with hunger and housing insecurity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all who grieve, all who are lonely or anxious, and all who are ill, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, John, Mary, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Draw them close to you and soothe them with the promise of your enduring love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for teachers, professors, librarians, school administrators, staff, and all who support the education of young people. Sustain them as they shape learning communities rooted in equity and authenticity. We pray for children of all ages in their learning. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember our beloved dead, who with the great cloud of witnesses bear witness to your saving grace. Accompany us in our pilgrimage of faith, that we too place our hope and trust in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to move around a little bit and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
pray together. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, loving and faithful God. All your works from the heights to the depths echo your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light. Darkness withdrew and creation dawned. When the times had at last ripened and the earth had grown in full abundance, your word created humankind in your image to steward all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that all might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you called good. And so with the entire communion of saints, with the angels and the whole creation, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, gracious and merciful God. Before our beginnings, you have always been the three in one being who was and is to come. From before time, you have been dreaming us up, imagining a world, forming us into creatures who might come to love you in return. By your breath and with your hands, you made us, and have written us into the long and unending story of your love. Around a table with the ones you called to carry on your story, you, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, break, and give us, that we might be your body in the world. After the meal ended, you, Jesus, took the cup of wine. Again, you gave thanks and praise and gave the cup to your disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this cup and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, pour, and give us, that we might be your life flowing for the world. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be your body in the world, that we may show Christ's love to all people. Amen.
The blessing of God, who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Body over.